Many patients are upset to learn that doctors don't take the Hippocratic Oath anymore.
National Review columnist Wesley Smith talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's a real shame because the Hippocratic Oath protects patient safety. The speech I will give at the conference will describe the consequences of violating Hippocratic values in healthcare and the things that can occur in the healthcare system if we move away from Hippocratic medicine to a more utilitarian bioethics.
You can meet and hear Wesley Smith making the case for the Hippocratic Oath at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
By the end of the century, if we don't change course, we're likely to be about 4.3 degrees Celsius warmer than we were before the Industrial Revolution, and we're likely to have about 500 parts per million of carbon in the atmosphere. The last time the air was that thick with carbon, the last time the planet was that much warmer, there were alligators in the Arctic. Every year, the average American, just by going about their daily life, melts about 10,000 feet of Arctic ice. Every minute, they add 5 gallons of water to the ocean. And every time they hop on a plane from New York to London, they melt 9 square meters of ice. Scientists expect that by the middle of the century, only in a couple of decades, many of the biggest cities in India and the Middle East will be that unlivably hot. That is, especially in summer, you will not be able to go outside. You will not be able to work outside, especially without risking heat stroke and possibly death.
That's David Wallace Wells talking about his new book called The Uninhabitable Earth, A Story of the Future. It's the subject of an interview at Vox. The tagline of the book is, "It is, I promise, worse than you think." Why do so many people, when talking about climate change, resort to alarmism? He claims to have written this book largely from his Twitter feed and a few interviews with some scientists. So he says when you get them behind closed doors are far more alarmist than they sound when they write their papers and publish their conclusions. We're going to talk about that book, and we're going to evaluate the claims of climate change that by the end of the decade, the world may be uninhabitable. It's not the first time someone has claimed that. Dr. Cal Beisner will be our guest. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Friday afternoon, the 22nd of February. In a little bit, we'll be talking with Dr. Bill Weinrich, remembering first century pastor and martyr, Polycarp. He's remembered on the 23rd of February. We'll be doing This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Rosebro, marking the 25th anniversary of the Toronto Blessing. You remember that holy laughter? Rodney Howard Brown, I think they called him the Holy Spirit bartender. He claimed to be able to just pour out the Holy Spirit. People would break into laughter for hours at a time. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a simple game we like to play with our listeners, where we play 4 soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio, and your vote decides which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, sending us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to discuss a new book called The Uninhabitable Earth, Life After Warming, Dr. Cal Beisner. He is founder and national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, author of several books, including Where Garden Meets Wilderness, Evangelical Entry into the Environmental Debate. Dr. Beisner, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Todd. Great to be with you, and great to be able to discuss this really amazing new book. You mentioned that the author says that he wrote this largely out of his Twitter feed and reflecting the statements of scientists behind closed doors who will speak more alarmingly than when they're out in the public. The first thing we might notice is science isn't done behind closed doors. Real science is open. It's open for investigation. It's supposed to be repeatable, duplicatable, etc. And so anybody who says he's got these secret conversations with scientists, well, I could just as well say I've got secret discussions with scientists who say the opposite. That's not what it's all about. And, you know, as far as your question early on about why are some people so alarmist about these things? Well, it might have something to do with the collapse of classical education that makes it so that people aren't reading Aesop's fables, including the fable of the boy who cried wolf. But I think there's a deeper explanation, too. You know, Romans 1 says that when people reject the creator-creature distinction, God gives them over to a reprobate mind, and professing themselves wise, they become fools. And in Proverbs 8, wisdom says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death." And I think the love affair with predictions of death by these alarmists is an indicator of their rejection of biblical wisdom.
So can you also explain why it is that since there have been people concerned about doomsday scenarios with respect to the climate, either global cooling, which that seems quaint, doesn't it? Or global warming.
It's getting more timely, by the way, Todd.
It always comes with those who make these dire predictions, often predictions that are so short-term that they will be very soon easily disproven, and yet no one seems to blink an eye.
Well, I think that's partly because people are caught up in the 24-hour news cycle, and they don't remember that 12 years ago, Al Gore said we had only 10 years to defeat global warming. And now, of course, AOC is saying we have only 10 years to defeat global warming. There's just simply the problem of people not keeping up. And those who are into crying alarm just keep beating the same drum. But that's been human nature through thousands of years, really.
So what do you make of some of the numbers that are claimed in this new book that is calling for sounding the alarm on climate change?
Yeah. Well, you cited one of them early on, the claim that by the end of the century, Earth would be about 4.3 degrees Celsius warmer than it was in pre-industrial times. Now, I will grant you that is within the range of the predictions of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, but it is at the far extreme end of that range, and even the IPCC says that's extremely unlikely. What the IPCC says, instead, is that it's more likely to be somewhere in the range of they give a range of 1.5 to 4.5, but they say the most likely is down around 3 or a little less than that. But even that depends on computer models, which have consistently exaggerated warming by 2 to 3 times what has actually been observed over the relevant period. That is, the models run hot. And instead of depending on models, which are simply hypotheses, they are sophisticated hypotheses, but that's all they are, is hypotheses. When we depend instead on empirical evidence, the best evidence indicates that total warming due to a doubling of carbon dioxide content in the atmosphere would be not in the range of 1.5 to 4.5 degrees, but rather most likely in the range of 0.5 to 1.5 degrees, perhaps 1.75. Now, that is certainly not a huge problem. But there's a particular paragraph in that Vox article that I'd love to focus on if we can. And that's one in which the author says that last year in the summer of 2018 in the Northern Hemisphere, you had the unprecedented heat wave that killed people all around the world. You had the crazy hurricane season. And in California, wildfires burned more than 1 million acres. We can take that apart with a lot of fun.
How would you begin on that?
Well, first, I would point to the first and last of those quick answers. A heat wave is weather, not climate. And the 2018 heat wave didn't even match the 2003 heat wave that killed 35,000 people in Europe alone. So he's just simply not looked to the data, to the records. As for wildfires, the annual number of wildfires in the U.S. fell drastically in the early 1980s in response to widespread campaigns against carelessness with campfires, cigarettes, and so on. It hasn't changed much since then. Total area burned by wildfires fell drastically from the 1920s through the 1980s, and then it began rising in the late 1990s, not because of warmer or drier weather, but because of changed forest management. Two things happened. One, we stopped thinning forests and removing underbrush, and that left a lot of fuel to burn. And two, we were stopping the larger number of fires, and that also left a lot of fuel to burn. And the result was fires that are hotter and grow faster than before. It doesn't correlate, though, positively with any global average temperature. But the hurricane data are even more fun.
What does that say?
Well, the crazy hurricane season of 2008 was actually pretty normal by historical standards. Let me start with some hard numbers just for the Atlantic Basin, which is pretty much the most important one around the world for a variety of different reasons. In 2018, there were 15 tropical storms, 7 hurricanes, 2 of them Category 3 or above, resulting in 144 deaths. In 2005, there were 28 tropical storms, almost twice as many, 15 hurricanes, more than twice as many, 7 Category 3 or above, which is more than 3 times as many, resulting in 2,280 or more deaths. So 2018 doesn't even beat 2005, and there have been lots of other years worse than 2018 as well. You can even get those data at Wikipedia, amazingly enough. As Cornwall Alliance senior fellow and University of Alabama climate scientist Dr. Roy W. Spencer, whose PhD focused on hurricanes, explains in his recent books, Global Warming Skepticism for Busy People and An Inconvenient Deception, How Al Gore Distorts Climate Science and Energy Policy, both of those available, by the way, on our online store at cornwallalliance.org, there has been no significant upward trend when accounting for the magnitude of annual variation in the frequency or intensity of tropical cyclones in any part of the world through the entire modern warm period. Spencer points out, in the U.S., there is evidence from Gulf of Mexico coastal lake bottom sediments of superhurricane storm surges 1,000 to 3,800 years ago that have not been rivaled in the modern historical record. The strongest hurricane to strike New England occurred on August 25, 1635, and it had storm surge 14 to 22 feet high. That far outdid the fairly weak so-called superstorm Sandy, which was only Category 1 when it struck. But people don't know the data, and they don't check it out.
How much of that, Cal, is the kind of an echo chamber effect where Every storm is hyped. I live in St. Louis, and if there's an inch of snow on the way, climate is all they talk about. And even though it has very little practical effect, it usually melts very quickly at this time of the year. But when it comes to a hurricane, it becomes national news. It is discussed over and over again. We can watch it. We can see it from space. We can track it. And it seems like to put it in layman's terms, a bigger deal than it is, and that's part of what climate change alarmists play upon, that we are more aware of such things than we have ever been before?
Yeah. Well, the fact is that the raw data, the hard data, are just simply not all that terribly exciting. But the Weather Channel and the weather reports on most of the news media have become far more entertainment than they are actual information helpful to people planning their lives. And one of the basic rules in journalism is if it bleeds, it leads. Another way of putting that is bad news is good news, good news is no news. The reason for that is that for some weird psychological reason, people get much more interested in bad news stories, in stories about a crisis here, a catastrophe there, than they do about good news stories. And since you have to pay for your business as a newspaper or a website or a television news broadcast, you have to pay for that by advertising. And advertisers buy advertising where they know they've got big audiences. Well, the decision makers say, we run what stimulates the audience, and that's the bad news. We don't run what doesn't, and that's the good news.
Is the Earth actually heating up?
If we look back to, say, 1850, probably global average temperature has risen by about 1 to 1.1 degrees Celsius. If you're looking at the last 18 years, The answer is no. There has been no statistically significant upward trend in global average temperature since, actually not just the last 18 years, but since 1997 or 1998, 20 to 21 years. And so the real answer to that question is going to change depending on how long a time frame you have in mind. Over the last 40 years, roughly, the period during which we have the most reliable data, which come from NASA satellites and are managed by Dr. Roy Spencer, whom I quoted earlier, who's a senior fellow with the Cornwall Alliance, over that period, we've seen an average of 0.13 degree per decade increase in global average temperature. So, yeah, there's been a little warming. It's not historically unprecedented, either in magnitude or speed. Similar rates occurred in the period from 1910 to the 1930s. And so, you know, the answer is yes. But that, of course, doesn't mean man-made global warming. That the fact that warming is occurring doesn't tell us what's causing it. And since we have seen similar warming trends in the past, and much warmer periods in the past, such as the Holocene climate optimum about 4,000 years ago, the Minoan warm period, the Roman warm period, the medieval warm period, and since we've seen much cooler periods in the past, such as the Little Ice Age from about 1350 to about 1850, we know that the Earth's temperature is capable of varying much more than it has in the last 40 to 60 years by entirely natural causes without any human activity. So we just can't blame it directly on human activity. That doesn't mean that we would deny that adding CO2 to the atmosphere brings about, you know, makes it a bit warmer than it otherwise would be. That, I think, is pretty good basic physics. But the interesting question is how much warmer? And the empirical evidence indicates that the warming effect of CO2 is at most about one-third, more likely about one-fourth or one-fifth, as much as that claimed by the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Dr. Cal Beisner is founder and national spokesman for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. He's author of several books, including Where Garden Meets Wilderness, Evangelical Entry into the Environmental Debate. You can purchase this book and learn more about the Cornwall Alliance at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Beisner, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. God bless you and all of yours working with you in your great mission to bring the gospel of Christ to the world.
Dr. Bill Weimrich is with us on the other side of the break. The fascinating story from the very earliest days of the church of a pastor, a simple pastor, and eventually a martyr, Polycarp, remembered by the church on the 23rd of February. Stay tuned.
Chicago is.
The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is coming to Chicago for its one and only 2019 conference. You can meet and hear Ross Douthat, Matt Harrison, Wesley Smith, Aaron Wolf, Hans Feeney, and Will Whedon Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. Chicago is.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.